Alrighty. Hey everybody, we are the Gelatinous Dudes. I'm Keegan and this is my best buddy Jake. And we really like talking about D&D. We love D&D tabletop RPGs. We've played it a lot. We've been playing together for 10 years. We've both DM'd, we've both played, we've also played a little bit separately. We've played a lot of games. To name a few here, just to, you know, if you're hoping to hear from a certain game, it might be on this list of some stuff we've played. D&D 5th Edition, D&D 1, Pathfinder, Monster of the Week, Masks, Dungeon World, Call of Cthulhu, Vampire the Masquerade, Warhammer 40k, Mothership, and Lord of the Rings, and I think a couple others that we can't remember. So we're going to read some stories, we're going to read some people looking for advice, and yeah, we're going to talk about it and hopefully get lost in the conversation because we love talking tabletop RPG stuff. Isn't that right, Jake?
Oh my God, yes.
All right. I have a pretty good first one here that I think will spark a pretty interesting conversation. This comes from Reddit user Durog25. And he says, railroading is not a synonym for linear campaigns. I say again, railroading is not a synonym for linear campaigns. It is not the opposite of sandboxing. Railroading is a pejorative. It is always a bad thing. Railroading is when the DM blocks the players' informed decisions, strips them of agency in order to force the desired outcome onto the players. There is no good way of doing this. Players do not enjoy it when you do this. If you're running a linear campaign and not blocking your PC's choices to inform a desired conclusion, then you are not railroading. So linear, when you mean linear, or say linear when you mean linear, I think is what they meant. I don't know where or who started this conflation, but it doesn't matter, but I do not care that so many people are on here comfortable using railroading to mean linear. It creates unnecessary confusion, it makes railroading seem okay, when it is never okay. Run linear campaigns if you want, have lots of fun, do not railroad your players. I think you made a really good point, because I think we do use that term a lot when talking about sandbox versus linear. I think a lot of people would say sandbox versus railroad, which is not always true.
Yeah, he's not 100% wrong, but I think he's like maybe a little overinflated on the term railroading, because like he's using it as railroading is always right. He said specifically verbatim, railroading is always bad.
Yeah,
and it's just for a way to, for a DM to get a desired outcome. I don't think that's 100% true.
I don't think because so either.
If that's like the term, like I've in the Monster of the Week campaign that we played, like I basically had goons come in and kidnap you guys, overpower you to take you to a point that I wanted you to be at. Like,
sure.
And,
yeah.
And I don't think that like took away anything. So I don't think that was bad in any sense of the word.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody's definitely seen some like negative railroading, right? Some where you know the DM forced you to do something or forced something onto your character that felt, you know, that it took your choice away or you had no power to stop it. But I do think that in, you know, especially in games, especially when we're talking, you know, casual games, you know, with your friends, or maybe not even casual, but just, you know, you're not making money off this. This isn't for profit. Maybe you're not recording it, right? I think sometimes it can be helpful to get your players in a spot, you know, to tell the best story. And I think that just comes down to kind of your relationship with your players. If they come to you and said, hey, you know, in this situation when we got kidnapped by some goons, we felt like we couldn't do anything to stop it, then that is a problem, right? And you should have plans for if they do escape the goons, right? They roll well and they outsmart the goons and they don't get kidnapped. That should definitely be a possibility. But you can then also find another way to still get them in that spot. And we've played definitely both linear and sandboxy campaigns. Our Dungeon World campaign, our first one, the continent was called Keldea, very sandboxy, really big world, tons of cities with different stories to tell, and you guys traveled all over the continent doing different stuff.
I think we went to basically every location.
Yeah, I think you did by the end of it. And then our kind of Curse of Strahd style campaign, I ran that much more linearly. There was kind of true vampires, Children of Strahd, that you guys systematically kind of went one-to-one, defeating all of them before you could take on Strahd. And while there was a map and a continent, I mean, it was pretty clear where you were supposed to go, and that was more linear. But Both are very fun, and I think it kind of just depends on the story you want to tell.
Yeah, I think that, like, when he's talking about railroading, the whole point of, like, a DM getting a desired outcome, like, if I, you know, have someone kidnap your characters, say, in especially a setting where you are not gods, like D&D, mm-hmm. will often have your characters be extra powerful, so that, that way, like, things like that can happen.
Right.
Monster of the Week, you're normal-ass people. You could be stolen pretty easily.
That's true.
I think the bad part of it is when you take away agency of the player. If you, like, completely be like, no, you literally can't do anything to stop this. If they're like, I try to fight back, your job as a DM is to find a clever and a way that makes sense that they are neutralized in some way that gets you where you're going. I mean, the whole point of it is kind of to tell, like, the best story. So, like, if it doesn't make sense that, like, you fight back and beat up whatever goons are trying to kidnap you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, that's kind of the way it
goes. The game master has a move called kidnap the player, right? Like,
yeah.
That's one of the suggested things. So, obviously, they want you to do that in certain instances, you know, put somebody in danger, separate them from the party in that system, in Monster of the Week, a Powered by the Apocalypse system. But I totally agree. Like, even though it's a recommended thing for the game master, I think it's called the keeper in that game, to do, there's definitely an unfun way to do it, like you said, where if the players don't feel like they could have done anything. But just like you said, in a game where you're kind of a normal person, right? You're an average person going up against supernatural horrors. It makes sense that there's situations where it would be very difficult to fight back or to change the outcome of that. So I think that really comes down to how you present it as a DM. And you have to really make sure to make it fun and interactive and give the players a chance to try to come up with a creative solution, even if you kind of have a plan for how that is going to turn out, what the outcome is.
And I don't think I agree with that what he says about, like, railroading is, like, always associated with a linear campaign, because we have had lots of, like, sandboxy campaigns where there have been things that happen that we have no control over.
Right.
And that's kind of just the way that it works. Like, a DM is not going to, like, before a session, you're not going to tell me, oh, hey, this thing is happening that you have no part of, and it's going to completely change what's going to happen in the next, you know, two sessions or something. Like, that would be stupid to do. So, like, I mean, if you're saying railroading, like, that, I mean, that would technically be railroading. So we're trying to pin this as this awful, terrible thing that DMs do to railroad, and I just don't think that it's
I don't think that it's the
connotation for it, obviously, like, people have that like stigma that it's always bad. I don't think so. I think that it has to happen sometimes.
Yeah. I think maybe we have slightly different definitions of railroading. I think, like, something happening in the campaign, something in the background, a villain making a move that changes the world, obviously has, you know, implications on your players and, like, what they should do next. But I don't know if that I would call that railroading. I think railroading is very specifically, at least in my mind, kind of pushing your players in such a specific direction or on such a specific path that it doesn't feel like that there was any other way for them to go about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think having, like, your villains, you know, create situations where your players feel like they're now pressured to do something or to face them, things like that. I think bringing the story to the players is not bad. And I don't think it's really railroading. I don't think throwing it in the face of your players and saying, this thing is happening and, you know, you have to stop it, you're the only people that can save this town, I think is a interesting way to kind of bring the story front and center right into the players' laps, rather than having them go seek it out.
And I see what you're saying there, because, like, sometimes it is kind of hard to get players to, like, join that little path that you kind of want them mm-hmm. to. So, I mean, I understand that.
Right. You always have, you know where the interesting stuff is. You know where the good story is as the DM, right? You're like, oh, I have this villain here or this, you know, kind of quest line here that would be super good. And you always want to get your players to that most interesting point. But sometimes they say, we want to go to this other place that you mentioned 7 sessions ago. And you're like, oh, I have no plans for that little town. And so you kind of have to, you know, be quick on your feet. And so rather than trying to force them to go to the town that you have a cool quest in, make that quest a little bit more moldable. You know, have a good idea for, you know, the setup for it and kind of how it plays out. But, you know, maybe it could pop up in a couple different towns, or maybe that villain can move around, and maybe, you know, instead of attacking the city that you thought he was going to attack, maybe attack somewhere else to kind of get your players closer to the action, you know. Being able to be very quick on your feet to keep the story really fresh and really interesting and really action-packed, I mean, that's a huge skill as a DM that you know, you can always develop.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I guess the definition of railroading, I'm a little, like, not. I, like, by what I kind of understood from what the person was sharing, is that railroading is a way for a DM to get a desired outcome without player involvement, basically.
Yeah, let's read. Here, I can read it verbatim. This is what the poster said. Railroading is when the DM blocks the player's informed decisions, strips them of agency in order to force the desired outcome onto the players.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that probably everyone has done at some point.
Well,
and I don't think it's necessarily bad. Like, even by the definition that he says, like, mm-hmm. stripping the agency is, I mean, like, don't do that. Like, don't, if they, like, say, oh, I want to try to do this, like, don't shun it. Like,
right.
You can't just, like, if there's no reason for them to not be able to do it, then allow them to do it. And then it's up to you to figure out a creative way to do what more you're kind of looking to do, I guess.
Yeah, well, he also says forcing the desired outcome, which I think is interesting because as a DM, you always have the setup. You always have, like, the hook of a quest or a maybe a whole campaign, but typically the outcome is the thing you don't know how it's going to go because mm-hmm. that really falls under your players' choices and, you know, kind of how they go about fighting a villain or going on a quest, or, you know, they can make so many different choices that would change the outcome, right? Maybe they don't want to kill a villain. Maybe they, you know, or maybe they want to see if they can change the villain's mind. Like, there's so many things that could end mm-hmm. the outcome differently. And yes, so I think that's the important part of railroading is, like, not only, you know, putting your players in a place where the story is going to be or where there are really interesting things happening could be a little bit of railroading. I think the worst form of railroading is when you're trying to force everything so that a specific final event happens. Mm-hmm. You know, the your story goes exactly this way or ends exactly this way, or, you know, maybe you have some plan that, like, oh, if this player dies, you know, that'll be so interesting because of this. And it's like, that is where you can really fall into danger, is because if you try to force something like that, that will feel like it kind of came out of nowhere, or your players had no way to fight against it, and that feels really unfun, even if as a DM you think that it'll make a satisfying story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, railroading to killing a character is fucking wild.
I've seen crazier things have happened for sure, but
I can just imagine just being like, all right, and then you're standing there and the sword is slowly moving to your face and they're like, I try to move. You can't move.
You
the
can't. Sword, you're paralyzed.
Your skull. Yeah,
just oh, we have revivify. It doesn't work. The gods don't answer you. It's like, whoa, dude.
roll your religion. Oh, your god isn't responding. And then, like, 5 minutes later, be like, I try to heal my friend. The god responds. Like,
that,
what
that
the fuck?
Is railroading. That like, exact yeah, situation, that is, okay. I think, is what people think of when they say railroading.
That's obviously, like, a worst case scenario.
Kind of thing.
Like, that's
but
like
I
an
do,
extreme.
I do understand, like, the call as a DM, because there, you know, sometimes you think of a story beat that would be so interesting. You know, maybe if that player character died, it would be such a good story because, you know, he has so many connections, or he has this familial connection or something. You know, it's like, oh, it would be so, it would, you know, it would be, you know, so narratively satisfying for him to have this death scene. I understand that, and like, I feel that, but that's so dangerous. And you know, it's not, I think the most important thing is, as a DM, you're not writing a book, right? You're not creating an ending or a narratively satisfying, you know, kind of event for all these characters. You are guiding them through a story where they make those choices. And if a player decides that maybe they want to sacrifice themselves in a blaze of glory, then that can be very narratively satisfying. Whereas if you're trying to force them to do that, all that, like you said, all that agency is lost, and that's where it becomes very unfun. You know, if you're a DM and you feel that call, you know, to have something like that happen, something that you think would be narratively satisfying, remember to keep your player's agency, to let them be informed on the decisions and the actions the whole time. Don't try to force those things, because otherwise you should be writing a book. You know, maybe you do have a really good story in your head, but this is a collaborative storytelling game.
Okay, so you're obviously, like, it's, I mean, so far you've been pretty against railroading. Do you think there is an acceptable level of railroading?
That's a good question.
I'm we've been playing together for a long time. I guarantee there's at least one time where you've railroaded us.
I wish I could think of a specific example. I can't think of anything specific,
but we played so much that it's so hard.
I know. I'm sure there is a time where I railroaded. I think the thing that I do more than anything else is that I make something so, like, intriguing that there almost is no other option, right? Like, if I want you to go to a city, I'll mention a detail about that city, or maybe an NPC will give you information on that city that makes it so tantalizing that you just feel like you have to go there next. And I don't think that's railroading. I think that's an okay setup, because you don't have to go there. You could go anywhere else, but why would you, right? If there's adventure and treasure and all these, you know, evil to be slain in this town. I think I do that a lot, for sure. I don't know that I railroad very often. I do think, I am curious what that threshold, though, is of, like, acceptable railroading.
Yeah, I think MacGuffins are probably more prone to railroading than maybe some other stories.
MacGuffin, like, does feel a little railroad. It's like you have to get this thing before the story can move forward, right?
Yeah.
And
there's still a lot of choice within what they're saying. That. That's a linear story. But, right. At what time does a linear story turn into, like, a railroad? You know what I mean?
Yeah, where is that line? I think even in a MacGuffin storyline, which, if anybody out there doesn't know, MacGuffin's like, you need this item, you need this thing. You know, you have to collect the 7 gems of power to, you know, the Infinity Stones, right? Those are MacGuffins. And so if you have this kind of linear story where your players have to collect this thing or multiple things, there's still so many choices to be had there, right? Which ones do we go for first? How do we approach it? You know, there can be a whole mystery of finding the thing first. You know, they don't always know the location. And so I think that that is more linear and definitely not railroading. I think if you halted all story progress, you know, until this MacGuffin had been found, I do think that would feel like railroading. Even though, if there's this massive barrier, you know, locking your players, I think that would feel
bad. So what you're saying is, if, like, let's say players are supposed to get the holy adventure somewhere in the mountains by Phandalin, and they choose to go do something else, it's railroading to not progress the story, like, not say that, like, oh, someone else might go get that while you were doing something else. Is that where you're?
Yeah, I think if you told your players that there's this we'll go with your thing here. There's this, you know, magical artifact in the mountains that they have to get, whatever. And they said, oh no, we're gonna go to this other town. You know, I want to buy some stuff, whatever. I think if you halted all momentum and kept telling them, oh well, you know, really, if you just went back to those mountains to get that holy artifact, then maybe this would work out for you. You know, I do think that kind of feels like railroading. I think if you've presented them with this non-choice, right, the only thing to do is to go get that artifact in the mountains, maybe that's linear because, you know, that is what progresses the story, but I think that feels like railroading. I would even in a linear campaign where there's kind of a more set path, I still want some freedom to kind of move around and to breathe in certain moments and not just feel like the only thing for the party to do is just keep trekking on to the next piece, next MacGuffin, next moment, you know?
I mean, I think if, let's say you're in like that kind of linear story, you're making like a linear story. These beats have to happen for the next thing to happen. Like, our party decides that they're going to go to some little podunk town because they feel like it and they're not going to go after the magic item in the mountains. As a DM, make that that item in the mountains that they wanted to get move somewhere else. Maybe not like to where they are going, because that's like a little obvious, but maybe like someone else got there first. Someone that they're like should be against got to it first. I think that create like a more interesting way to like handle the party getting to be a little bit more sandboxy in their campaign, but still like feel like a need to go get that item.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting twist slash, you know, putting a little bit of pressure on the players. Like, I think if you've mentioned this artifact and it's really important that you go get this, you really need it, and they still are like, I don't know, we're gonna go to this other thing, having someone else collect it first, and then maybe they have to track that person down and find a way to get that item. Now it's become a little bit more complicated and a little bit more difficult,
like in the time that they haven't gotten it, like something bad happens with that item. You chose to do something that you maybe didn't want, like something that you wanted to do that was a personal thing. I'm putting air quotes over that. And so that quest line is still happening. The world is still spinning. People are still moving just because you're not in the same location. Somebody gets that. Somebody goes and kills a king with it or something, and you hear a story of like that sword or whatever magic item is being used somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's a super fun twist. If you have some important thing like that and your players kind of choose to ignore it, or if you feel like your players are ignoring a main questline thing, I think that's a super fun twist. But also, I think it's important, if they do choose to go to that podunk town and, you know, whatever, you know, still make that interesting. Make it fun. Make, you know, give them a fun quest there that's maybe not as serious or a little bit more side questy, or maybe still has a fun reward. And then hit them with, hey, that item that you need, you know, someone else has taken it. You know, you realize, you know, it's in some way, that, you know, this is no longer available to you. And now they have to problem solve. And, oh, now how are we going to get it? I think that's a very fun twist. Puts a little bit of pressure on your players to say, hey, you know, we got to make some main story progress as well, though. Like you said, things are still moving. The world's still spinning. And I think that's always super important in any campaign. You know, that's what really makes the world feel alive, is when things are happening all over the continent or the world, you know, outside of only what your players are doing. If it feels like your players are moving around and time is frozen everywhere else, it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel
alive. You walk into a town and then the NPCs are like, oh, you're back. I can actually live again.
Yeah, and they'll spawn in. They unfreeze. And, you know,
saving memory in the level they spawned in front of you.
Right. That you don't want it to feel like that. That's a very specific video game thing that you don't have to do in RPGs, tabletop RPGs. I think
so. I'm sorry to tell you, but I may have laid a little bit of a trap for you. I got you to agree with what I just said. And is it, by definition, isn't it railroading? Because the outcome is the same. They get the sword that you want them to have.
The outcome is the same, but you did not, I don't think you forced that outcome. I think they had agency the whole time, right?
They, I mean, they,
They chose to do something else. You kind of
force the outcome.
You always know that you're going to get the sword. If you're playing Curse of Strahd, I always know my players are going to kill Strahd. That's not railroad. Well, I mean, obviously, kill Strahd.
Like, he's going to kill Strahd.
There's always going to be constants in campaigns, you know, bosses, items, whatever. I think there will always be some constants that you really want to hit to tell that story. It's just making sure that the players have the agency to get there when they want, or, mm-hmm. or to approach the situation how they want. And, you know, feel free to leave yourself some room for adjustment, like we talked about, you know, to either pressure the players or make something really interesting so that they want to do that thing. But I think as long as they have agency the whole time and they feel like the choices they make matter, I think you'll be okay. I think you'll be in the clear.
I think the problem that I have is that defining railroading is impossible, because railroading, right. like I could, if I want an outcome to happen as a DM, it'll probably happen. I think the sure. difference is that whether it feels bad to it, like it feels bad or not.
True.
Because I think a very skilled DM can railroad just enough that their game is still very fun and they still feel like they can do what they wanted to, but you got kind of that little thing that you wanted them to do. That's, you got them to hit that beat that you wanted them to hit.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think that's what's most important, is that your players are having fun. There's definitely some groups that, you know, maybe you only play once a month or even less than that, and it's a lot more about hanging out with your friends and beer and pizza, you know, and maybe those groups wouldn't be bothered by railroading and perhaps need more railroading to make, you know, progress. And that might be totally okay. I think it's, you really need to kind of feel out the vibe of your players, make sure they're having fun, and just make sure that they feel like they have that agency. And I think you'll be all right, even if, you know, you got to make some adjustments and move some stuff around, and, you know, and players want to be where the action is anyways. I mean, every player wants to be, you know, in the town when the dragon attacks so they can defend it. Yeah, you want to, and that.
I want to be where the cool RP is. I don't care about the action.
That's true.
That's just kind of how I am, though.
Yeah. So, you know,
I want to be fighting my bastard child in the middle of the street rather than fighting a dragon in the middle of the exact same street.
You like the familial. You are, I feel, always attracted to that kind of, those player relationships, you know, be it familial or friendly or whatever.
That's a lot more interesting. I mean, you could make like a really compelling villain. But the people that are around you all the time is the more interesting part of that, because they're around you all the time. If the villain shows up once or twice during a campaign, like, hell yeah, that's cool. But, like, I'm not developing a relationship with them.
I think you totally can.
I don't know. Like, Curse of Strahd is a good example. Like, Strahd is supposed to show up and, like, neg you, basically. He's supposed to be like, oh, you guys are cute. Like, this has happened before. People tried to kill me. I'll give you a glimpse of my power, and then I'll run away again. And then go and get the next thing, and then he does it again, and then he invites you over. I mean, like, that kind of case, you build, like, somewhat of you build a rapport with him more than a relationship.
Sure.
But that's kind of, I mean, that's different than the
relationship
part.
I mean, I love the RP with my fellow players and stuff when I'm a player. And I love building those relationships. But I don't know. I am very compelled by a good villain. I think that as a player, I think having good relationships with your fellow players is obviously incredible and super fun, and adds a lot to the campaign.
But I think you just like to play a good villain.
Yeah, I just, but it's all, even as a player, even in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking about that next fight with that big bad, and we're gonna, you know, we're really gonna, you know, fuck him up this time. I don't know. I like it, and I think that's everybody will find enjoyment in those different things. We could do a whole nother episode on, you know, role play amongst the party with NPCs, with villains. That's a whole nother topic. But I think
that's the hook right there. Really, that's what really gets you into it.
The RP, oh yeah, that's for yeah. sure what I mean, gets there's a lot people of people into just, tabletop
that
RPGs.
Just really like the war gamey aspect of like games like D&D. But or like
Warhammer,
for,
like yeah, true Warhammer. Tabletop Warhammer, not the RPG. Yeah,
true Warhammer, like they well, like even people in D&D, like they just want that war gamey aspect, and
some people
and
love
like
it,
that's
yeah.
cool. Some people really like the numbers and trying to and. You know, the min-maxers of groups, those all happen
yeah.
sometimes.
That's a whole we got we got so much here. That's yeah, that's a whole nother episode oh right there is war games versus, you know, role play, theater of the mind versus minis. We got so much. But for this one, for this episode, I think we had a really interesting conversation on linear versus sandbox campaigns, the dangers of railroading, how to approach it in a safe way. I feel pretty good about that.
I've been, I mean, maybe a little less. I'm still kind of like, I'm pro minor railroading still, I think.
I think I'm definitely anti
railroading,
but. Minor
railroading, I think, is fine.
Get in the comments. Get in the comments. Tell Jake that he's wrong and he's a
no,
bad DM.
No, I'm not wrong.
And,
minor railroading.
You know, let us know, you know, if you have any experience with it, with railroading, you know. Where can they let us know, Jake? How are we going to do this? We need an email. I want emails.
We have an email. We have an email. I'll put it in the description. How about that?
All right. Our email's in the description.
Maybe we'll open a Reddit, yeah. a Reddit page or something, and you guys can post some shit in there, too.
Check the description for our email. Email us. Tell us about your experiences with railroading, your preferences for it, linear versus sandbox campaigns, all that stuff. Let us know. And with that, I think we've been the Gelatinous Dudes, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.